Hello and welcome. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we start chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Father, we come before you. We thank you again for the people that are listening. We pray for each one. We think of those that are in nursing homes. We think of those that are listening at work, those that are driving through the county with their radio on. We just pray that you might work in their hearts, Father, that this might be a word that they need today, whether they be saved or whether they be lost and in need of a Savior. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we see here in our portion before us, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're beginning a new chapter, and let's just read the first 9 verses. There's a difference between the first 9 verses and verses 10 through 17. The first 9 verses we see, we might say, a negative introduction to the chapter, and then we see how Paul, in a great contrast, starts in verse 10. Let's just read the first 9 verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And then in verse 10, Paul says, But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, etc., etc. So we see then Paul elaborates into that which is godly. But first, he speaks in the first 9 verses of this know also, that in the last days, perilous, or that which means trying or difficult or hard times shall come. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to read that, Jude, that one chapter of Jude, also speaks of the last times and the last days. So we see in these 3 chapters, note that, 2 Timothy 3, 2 Peter 3, and the one chapter in the book of Jude, speak of the last times and the last days, speak of perilous times, hard times, difficult times. Well, today let's examine a little bit of these this description and these evidences of ones in that difficult time. Speaking of men, we'll, as it lists here, some 19 sinful and negative examples here. Compare that to Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 31. There's some 22 things mentioned there of those that's been given over to a reprobate mind. Here, the word reprobate concerning the faith is mentioned also. So we see a similarity in Romans 1 and here in 2 Timothy 3. Well, it says lovers of selves. Selfishness. Well, we think of verse 4, it speaks of lovers of pleasure, as here in verse 2, it speaks of lovers of self. Well, what a contrast to also in chapter 4 of the same book. It speaks of Paul talking of those that love the appearing of Christ. What a contrast of those that are lovers of self and lovers of pleasure instead of being lovers of the very appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a lover of self and of pleasure? Or do you love and are waiting for the very appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, also it says that ones would be in the last days, covetous, also repeated in Romans 1. Boasters or braggers, also repeated in Romans 1. Proud, also from Romans 1. Here it speaks here, we think of Satan in Isaiah 14, where he said when he was in heaven, five times he said, I will be like the Most High God. I will, I will. And he was cast out of heaven. Pride. We see the very beginning of pride. Then we see blasphemers. That's abusive or evil speaking. Disobedient to parents. Again, something repeated from that chapter 1 of Romans. Unthankful is mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Unholy. It also mentions here in verse 3 as we go to the next verse, without natural affection. That's also repeated from Romans 1, which we see today. What a lack of natural affection. We think of some of the things going on in politics and around the world and around our country. We think of the very lack of natural affection. We think of how so many evil things are done to children and to the elderly, and we see the issues at hand, such as assisted suicide and how it's being debated and abortion and these things that are taken so far out of hand. There's such a lack of natural affection. We see a truce breakers or liars is mentioned in verse 3 here. Again, something parallel to Romans chapter 1. False accusers. We see here, we are reminded of those that falsely accused the Lord Jesus as he was going toward the cross. They had ones that bore false witness against him. We see the word incontinence mentioned here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Incontinent means without self-control. Morally without self-control. We see the word fierce, meaning not tamed. It says also in verse 3, without love to those that do good, is how we could render that, of despisers of those that are good. It also says traitors. All right, verse 4, heady, which means headstrong, high-minded, which means puffed up. You know, in Proverbs, I believe it is, where it speaks of the things that God hates, I believe pride is mentioned twice. Well, it also goes on here in our chapter, speaking of, as I mentioned, lovers of pleasure. Isn't that what our society is made up of today? Things that in themselves sometimes are okay and sometimes they're not. But the point is people put pleasure before God. Going out and playing XYZ sport in itself may not be bad, but when it consumes your time and your life and you'd rather have pleasure than to seek after the things of God, well, it has become your God, this thing of pleasure. Sometimes the things that we do in themselves may actually be evil. We see people in the last days doing things which, for example, all the terrible programs that are in the movies and not much of the television programs are actually people watching other people sin. And they say, well, I'm not doing it. They are. But if you're gaining enjoyment from other men's sins, then you're a partaker in other men's sins. We see lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, then we move down to verse 5. Here it speaks of having a form that is an outline of godliness, but they deny the very power thereof. In other words, it's not true Christianity. It's not true religion. It is nothing but man's religion. It's not true spirituality. It's having an outline of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says here, from such, turn away. We may not take very much time now, but you know, there's different times in the Word of God that we as New Testament Christians are told to turn away. We're told to withdraw from a brother who's walking disorderly. It speaks there in 2 Thessalonians 3 of ones that are not willing to work. We're told in 1 Timothy 6 of withdrawing from an unsound teacher. We're told in 2 John that verses 9 to 11 of that one chapter there, we're not to be at Godspeed to ones that speak against the doctrine of Christ. So when they come to your door and they deny the very person and the deity of Christ, don't wish them well. The Word of God says not to let them into your home and to not to wish them Godspeed. Titus tells us that we're to reject the, after two or three admonitions, reject the heretic. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it speaks of how when ones can go to the point where they would be turned over to Satan for discipline. Romans 16 tells us to mark them that are division makers. So as we are to have a godly attitude, we are to have love and joy and peace and all the fruit of the Spirit. There are times that we must turn away and withdraw and reject those that are opposing, those that will not heed the sound doctrine. Sometimes it's speaking of those that are outside of the household of faith, and sometimes it's ones that have been caught in the fault. And if it is a brother, of course, the goal of discipline, if that's the case, is that they would eventually be restored and brought back into the fold. But here, we just wanted to mention here that it said in verse 5, of those having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Here's an unbeliever. But these are ones that are in great heinous sins. From such, turn away. Doesn't mean you can't pray for them. Doesn't mean you can't be a witness to them. But be not a partaker of other men's sins. The Word of God tells us. Well, anyway, down to verse 6. Here we see, as it says, for this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's interesting that in this little passage there's a three-point area of rejection. First, they have a form of godliness in verse 5 and deny the power thereof. Verse 6, they have continual learning, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. And then in verse 8, they resist the truth. So not only do they resist the truth, they don't come to a true knowledge of the truth, they don't have the true power, they're denying the true power of godliness. Threefold rejection of the things of God here in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 9. Well, as we see this, we see verses 6 and 7. That's speaking of those that would come in and be seducers, those that would lead captive ones away into different lusts. This is very serious. We think of the very exhortation that we would give to be careful of just anyone that would come to you with any doctrine, as they might come to your home, might look like well-meaning people. They might look like very neat people, people that would sound very fluent, but yet if they bring not to you the doctrine of Christ, they would be ones that would be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But in closing, I'll mention here is in verse 8 speaks of back in Moses' day, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Remember those that were magicians, and they tried to resist Moses. Turn to Exodus 7 and read verses 10 to 12 and Exodus 8, 16 to 19. And you'll see here, as it mentions here, this illustration of ones that opposed Moses. But it became evident, as it says here in our passage before us, that their folly shall be made manifest unto all men. It became evident back there in Moses' day of those that opposed Moses. The word folly means senselessness. The word manifest means quite evident, brought to light. It was brought to light, the folly of those that withstood Moses. And the Word of God tells us in the last days that their folly, of these that resist the truth, will be brought to light. My friend, let's hold fast to sound doctrine. As the Word of God tells us in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, sound doctrine will yield sound behavior. Thank you for joining us today. This is Mike Moody, with Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.